Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Voltron After Show. We're here for Season 3, y'all. We are looking at Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2, Changing of the Guard, and Red Paladin. And team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, it's been a while since I've done that intro.
It's been a bit, yeah.
It has been a... January? Was that when the last season dropped? Was that January?
I think, yeah.
8,000 years ago?
Yeah. I like also that you became sort of Southern between now and then, because you went in with the y'all.
Have you never heard me say y'all?
No, not that I particularly recall. It's a very useful contraction.
Wow.
Listen, growing up in the Northeast,
wow.
I was very resistant to it, but
it
once I went to school
time.
In Virginia,
wow.
I realized it was worth it. It was good.
All right, well, let's get this party started. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We're here for Season 3. We're having a grand old time.
Woo.
We are looking at Episodes 1 and 2, The Changing of the Guard and Red Paladin. And with me, I have my lovely panel, Red Paladin, Emma Fife.
That's me. I'm Emma Fife, and I'm at Emma Fife on social media everywhere.
Yellow Paladin, Mark Donica.
I'm rare. I'm not on TV that much. Hi, everybody. I'm Mark B. Donica. You find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. But please follow a new venture, Inventory Full, which is a new gaming podcast we're doing, which is at Inventory Full PT.
Green Paladin, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
Y'all may have noticed we're down a leg tonight. Our Blue Paladin got married yesterday.
That's true. All at her wedding.
We were.
So you can tweet her your congratulations at Ator is 890. I am Black Paladin Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the internet at Kiaxe. That is KIAXET. And we have a special guest with us tonight, the voice of Lotor, AJ Locasio.
Hi. Where do I say hi? Is that camera?
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, that's your
camera
right there. The one in which you can see yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I can't really, but I see some sort of fuzzy shape.
Right, but in theory, yeah. You know that there is a camera up there.
Yeah.
But there's cameras all over the studio,
they're
so I could see
like,
how you would get
there's
confused.
There's fake movement when you move, so you're like, that's probably
there's
my
some,
best bet.
Yeah, exactly.
So thanks for joining us tonight.
Yes, of course. It's so nice to actually be able to talk about this finally.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be out in the open.
That actually, when they announced you were the voice of Prince Lotor during Comic-Con, that was the big thing that they said, was they basically said, oh yeah, AJ's going to be real happy that he can talk about this.
Yeah.
So guys, this is the guy who's playing him. Everyone go follow him on Twitter, tweet at him. He's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw a bit of that and I was really flattered.
Yeah.
They were very sweet. They know. They've been watching me. They're like, don't worry, soon.
Hashtag soon.
Your time will come.
You're like, I'm only voicing the character of my dreams. But because we were chatting a little bit before the camera started rolling.
Right. About being color-coded.
Exactly. About our color coordination that's going on here. And you were expressing that Lotor, you couldn't have dreamed up a more perfect character.
I mean, I'm
for
not
yourself.
Just saying that too. Like,
right.
Purple's my favorite color. Like my favorite color. I love white haired characters. Like, this is really weird. This is a deep cut, but you guys ever watch Erie, Indiana?
Yes.
There's a character played by Jason Marsden -X.
Yes.
I love that character. I thought it was so cool. And so the white haired, like youthful character to me, like really appealed to me from a young age. And then I love pointy ears. My girlfriend and I always joke that if we ever got plastic surgery, we'd get pointy ears. Like, because they're so cool.
Yeah.
And like, the sword, the eyes, like everything about him is just, I love him.
He's the charisma. You're basically voicing Purple Sephiroth.
Sure. I what was it? Space Legolas is what someone had said.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree with that. Or Space Loki was another one. That,
okay.
Regular Loki kind of spacey, though?
That's
I guess
true.
That's
something
true.
Dark.
It's
yeah.
just, it, yeah, it's purple Loki.
Purple Loki.
It's Loki is closer for sure than Legolas, because Legolas is kind of a good guy, and Prince Lotor's not really so much.
Well, I think he's a good guy.
Follow the rainbow in the chat says Lotoriel because you're worth it.
Yeah, I was gonna
love that.
So
I was gonna say Neil also thinks Zarkon is a good guy. So we're
yeah,
you know what we're
yep.
we're
exactly.
off to a great
it's,
start.
It's all about our perspective, right?
Yeah.
So to get down to brass tacks and to lay out a few things before we get started,
yes.
And we are running a little late. So for one, we do have the hashtag. We do have the live chat. If you want to participate, after the fact because you're not watching or listening to this live, that's why we have the Twitter hashtag #ABTVVoltron. We already have all sorts of really fun stuff in there. Including a couple things we're not allowed to repeat on air, but made us laugh real hard.
Grossness.
So thank you for those. The other thing is, for those of you who watched us last season, you know what we're going to say. But for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we have all seen the entire season.
We have.
We will not be talking about anything beyond episode 2. We are keeping it spoiler-free beyond the second episode. So please keep it spoiler-free in the chat, in the hashtag. I know we've already gone a little bit past that, but that's okay. We're starting fresh. And in the comment section, because a couple of people have told us, I've only seen the first two episodes in preparation for your after show. Aww. So
yeah,
you guys have amazing self-control. Holy cow. And yeah, so please do not do the spoilers. Thank you so much.
Don't
we
be
are
going to
get started. So the changing of the guard starts with Keith in deep space being sad about his life.
Aww.
I mean, isn't that just regular Keith?
Seriously. Really?
Hashtag loner.
We return to Keith how he usually is.
Going off on his own and doing his own thing and being sad about it.
He's Wolverine.
He's Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
I think my commentary was, he's not here, Keith. Did you check under the bed?
Yeah.
We can't find the Shiro. We don't really know how long it's been. We assume it has been a small chunk of time at least, but we don't really know how long it's been since our last battle and how long the Black Lion has been lying in what has to be a severely uncomfortable position on the floor.
We have Spencer Harris on the hashtag, tweeted at us a missing poster for Shiro.
Oh, I know. I saw that. It's hilarious.
Oh, man.
I love the missing poster. I love the dating sims people have been tweeting at us. Like, please send me all of those.
Don't even get me started on those, because that is my life right now.
And that's, we'll talk about those later.
Yeah. But no time for Gothead right now.
Yeah. Mostly where those are.
No, but I mean, I think you bring up a good point, Katie. If we're not 100% sure how much time has passed, all that we know is that some time has definitely gone by, because it's been a while from the perspective of outsiders since they've seen actual Voltron. And that's starting to become a problem.
I think I wrote, where is the Voltrons, about 4 different times in my notes.
Yeah. Although, talk about a bunch of people who are not, like, super easily impressed. Like, they see the lions, their civilization gets rescued, and they're like, so when can we see the actual Voltron? You're not all together? Yeah, you might have saved us, but what have you done for us lately?
I mean, I think that it just sort of highlights the fact that this whole idea of kind of placing everything on the back of Voltron being this symbol of goodness and hope is a little bit problematic from the point of view that, like, the individual lions are actually assets unto themselves. But the problem is, it's that idea of the combined robot of Voltron itself that people have latched onto. And so all they want is that. It's like when you set up somebody's expectations and you don't totally deliver, people are never going to be happy.
Well, it's also, Voltron itself is a symbol of unity. It's 5 people from different walks of life all coming together and forming this great god, essentially. And it's sort of like the thumb trick where you're like, oh, what happened? Because they see the lions go up and Voltron come down and they don't go, well, what happened to the lions?
Where's the lions? That thought never crossed my mind.
Because when we get to Puig, is right the name
Puig,
of the
Puig
is so. Afterwards, you see the kids, we're going way ahead, but the kids are looking up at the lions like, wow, those things are so cool. But all the adults are like, that's not Voltron.
After they side-eye the hell out of the Blade of Marmora, who were
that's
the
Batman.
People who
you
were,
be respectful to Batman.
You be respectful to purple Batman. They escaped the dumpster fire to come help you.
You know what's one of the coolest things in these first two episodes is just seeing those guys drop out of the air and tumble into the middle of the fray. It's like, that's awesome.
How fast are we flying? Doesn't matter. We're going to duck and roll. Let's just do it. Like, that would break many people's legs. I don't... Dang.
They're not people. They're Galra.
Yeah, Galra.
They're the
party species.
Galra are people, you guys.
That's the definition of people.
Yeah.
I said something about, was it humanity? Like, Zarkon showing his humanity, I think. It was the Let's Voltron podcast. And someone corrected me. They're like, is he human? And I was like, oh, I just meant it in a general
Just like,
metaphorical
people
humanity.
Are people, to quote, what, Muppets Take Manhattan? Peoples is peoples? That's a deep... deep reference.
Fan of deep cuts.
Yeah, it's the diner owner at Muppets Take Manhattan, I think. Anyway.
No, it's a good pull.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah, for most people it has been. For me, I'm like, put it on.
Oh, that's Muppet Treasure Island.
It's cool that movie.
Oh, really? I love that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Tim Curry in it kills it.
Oh, nice.
A former Lotor as well. Like, he was in, what was the other?
Was that Legendary Force where he
voiced? I honestly don't know. I just remember when I looked at all the other previous voices, like,
Tim Curry, what?
Was that the 3D show?
I think it was.
Okay.
That was the one
with
where
Billy West and Michael Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's fun to watch. It's a product of its times,
everything
as are most shows that we watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually have my notes skipping immediately to Lotor, so let's just wander over there.
That's what I tried to do. I was like, let's hijack this. Let's bring it to the Galrus. Yeah, enough of this Voltron.
Yeah. Who cares about the paladins?
Okay, so meanwhile, back at the murder ranch.
So for me, it was really interesting because we were talking about the character of Prince Lotor, obviously, because at the end of the previous season, we were introduced to the fact that he was going to show up this season. And so we were all sort of speculating what kind of prince he would be. And we were all thinking more of like a Zuko kind of prince.
Yeah.
Which I saw that you tweeted that picture of you and Dante.
Yeah. Which is so fun. I mean, that was years ago. So yeah. It's so funny to think like, wow, we're both... Like, now I have some weird connection to him, and other than just being a fan.
So Lotor, for me, was super not what I expected him to be, but in a good way.
Right.
Yeah. And we got That's such a great bait and switch, because the Voltron YouTube channel, like, the day before this season dropped, put up a 5-minute clip, and it's our introduction to Lotor. It's the, well, I'm going to go for the throne. Well, who's this guy in the ring? And then that whole fight, and then the, we bring our enemies in as allies, and we do this, and we do that. And it stops there. And so Megan and I watched that, and we're kind of like, oh, maybe he's going to be that. Maybe he's going to quietly put the lid on the dumpster fire instead of, you know, throwing gasoline on it. Maybe he will actually reach out to people, and then they won't want to be saved by Voltron because they're valued allies of the Galra. The clip extends for 30 seconds, and it's, send the guy to the planet of the ice worms. He can go to Hoth for all I care. And I'm like, gasoline.
That was the thing in the audition that I saw. Like, I read the whole speech, and I was like, whoa, this guy's a big deal. And then when I saw that little turn, I went, oh, I get this. Yeah. You know, there's that moment where you go, oh, this is a different person than what he's projecting. And there's a whole other layer that happens throughout that.
It's super interesting because he does project this incredibly charismatic leader. Like, he is somebody that you would want to follow because he projects as, again, being very, very confident and persuasive, and you're
that
like, that hair, I mean,
by doing that
moment, I believed him. Oh my goodness.
And by doing that, he squashes rebellion amongst his own troops, because it's impossible not to hear what everyone's saying, and the Galra throne is taken by force.
Right.
So he beats the hell out of this poor guy and then goes, oh no, we're friends. See, we're all going to be allies, and it's going to be great. Also, you're getting redeployed. Yeah.
I love it. Throck, voiced by Tony Curran. He has a wonderful.
Okay.
I believe he's a Scottish actor. You guys all look totally blank. Sorry, Tony.
No. The fun thing is, learn the voice every day. Hasn't made it to IMDb yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they don't say, this person voiced by this person in the credits. So I've definitely been like, who are the voices of the generals?
Yeah. I don't even think he knows it's out yet. I meant to like tweet at him and be like, yo, Tony, you know our scene's out. He's an awesome guy. It's so fun to, with, you know, scenes like that. You meet someone on the day, and then you go into the booth, and suddenly you're going, and screaming at each other. It's such a weird way to get to know someone.
Very visceral.
So did you record most of your lines solo? Did you do them with your scene partners? Like, how was the recording?
Well, for the most part, it's all of us.
Yeah.
And
nice.
So, which is awesome. I mean, yeah, we've had
so
things
radio
where there's
play style.
Eight people. It's crazy. We're like wall-to-wall people. And but I think the first two I did, I think it was with Tony, and then I did maybe the first one by myself, and it was really weird. It was very sort of like cold and strange, and I was like, I don't know, this is very, because the last show I did, the Dawn of the Croods, it was just a whole family. It was a family of people, and, you know, we're all laughing and screaming, and then suddenly it's Andrea Romano, you know, it's staring at me through the glass, and I'm alone in a giant room. and she's someone that I've idolized for years, and so now I'm just like, I felt like this tiny little speck. But then, I don't know why that was. I guess they were catching me up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, because everyone since, it's always been, you know, it's just a bunch of people. It's the whole, you know, it's all of Voltron, so...
Did you have certain perceptions of the character of Lotor before you even went into that audition? What was your research like?
I did do some research. I looked up a picture. Mm-hmm. I think there might have been a picture in the description. I might be mistaken. But I was like vaguely aware of the character from the original series. So I was like, oh, I think he's like purple or blue and he had long hair. And I remember the helmet. So there was like some, but I didn't want to know. I didn't want to have the voice. And thankfully, what the original actor does is so different. You know, it's such a different thing that it wouldn't have influenced it. It's not like, you know, do Indiana Jones, but not Harrison Ford. Or the Joker. You know, it's hard not to hear Mark Hamill.
Sure. Yeah.
When
you
do the Joker. But, so I just kind of... There's a character that I worked on. worked on a project with a friend of mine, Elliot, who did this movie, and it was this character didn't make it through. The movie didn't make it through.
Okay.
So there was this really awesome, like, passionate character that we sort of worked on, and he was this really excitable, awesome, just a really fun person to be. He was really just rich, and, like, I fell in love with him. Mm. And then, you know, that kind of went away, and so that character never got to live. And then when I got this, I was like, I'm using that. I want to use that character, but with that twist. And so, which added a whole other dimension to that sort of, you know, that obsessive, passionate aspect to him. And so I was basically taking that combined with, like, I watch a lot of Long Way Round, Ewan McGregor, and his voice sort of stuck in my head, and I love Ewan McGregor. So there's a little bit of that in there, and a little bit of James McAvoy. There's like a whole, James McAvoy, not James Mac. I don't know who that is. There's some guy in like Arkansas, like, hey, that's me.
James Mac.
Finally get the credit I deserve.
Alex's older brother.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't even know if I answered the question. But it was just kind of, it was this, you know, combined with what I saw there. And mostly what it came down to is it was someone that I wanted to be or someone that I wanted to do. Because there's so many times you get a, you know, an audition and it's like star scream or something, you know, in that voice. And you're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. And so this was something I was like, I want to just do the most fun character that I, the ultimate character.
Sure.
And so then when I got it, I was like, oh my God.
It is true because this series, while inspired by the original series of Voltron, it's in no way, shape, or form trying to be a carbon copy of that.
No.
So
not at all.
You did get to have the freedom to create this sort of new version of Lotor that is pretty great.
Thank you. I did accidentally poison myself, I think, a little bit after. So when I did the audition, I sent it out, and I went, okay, now I can sort of have my dessert. I'm going to watch some clips of original Lotor. And so, or maybe it was after I got it. I think I booked it, and then I watched him, and then all of a sudden this thing creeped in my head. I was like, oh, he's kind of like a sassy weirdo. So, like, and so that kind of crept in.
Weirdos.
And so, like, the first day I went in, I think I went in with a little bit of sass.
A little bit of sass.
I remember, like, Joaquin and Lauren kind of going, AJ, can you, like, maybe tone him down a little bit? Because I kept trying to make him, like, well, I didn't think of it. You know? And it happened for, like, I would say, like, the first couple sessions, I kept on it, and they were like, no, like, more, bring it, he's more serious, he's more, and it's funny now looking at the first two episodes, I don't even know where I would have fit it in, but I was trying to get it in there. I had, like, my own weird agenda, and then once I started to realize what they wanted more so, I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, you see it, he gets a little freer as towards the end of the season, there's a little, but right at the beginning, they're like, no, we want this straight arrow, you know, kind of guy. So.
Well, and I mean also not to spoil stuff that happens later in the season per se, but I do feel like with Lotor, one of the things I really enjoyed about his character arc within the season was he did start off being very much in control, and as things don't 100% go his way as we go on, he does start to fall apart a little bit.
I wouldn't say he falls apart.
But I mean, he starts to...
Things start to get away from his grasp.
Yeah, you start to see cracks in the armor. So
oh, you are your daddy's child.
I'm sure and Neil have very similar perspectives on how we feel about our characters. I know we do.
Apple doesn't fall far.
No, that's really funny.
Space tree. What I really liked was just the little bits of character information that we get before the actual reveal. We find out that he's exiled, one, first and foremost.
I
and
wrote
two,
all of these down.
Yeah, he also fights on the front line with his generals, who are all considered half-breeds.
Definitely considered awesome.
His lady squad is amazing.
So
I
cool.
love them so much.
I remember
much.
When they showed me the designs, like, I was like, because I'd been talking to them for a very long time with no idea what they visually looked like. And then they, like, brought up an image, like, oh, by the way, this is your squad. And I was like, what? Because you know, like, they're so unique and they don't look like anything that I can point to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that they remind me of, but they're not necessarily in any, I can't pinpoint anything. They're just really unique.
Lizard Tank and Space Ty Lee.
Yeah. Space Ty Lee is a funny one. I feel like I maybe might have said something like that.
She just kind of is, though.
I know. I love Ty Lee. Ty Lee is such an awesome character.
She is.
Anything that's in that vein, I hope Lauren and Joaquin don't get mad at me, but I call Jeremy Space Sokka. And he loves, I don't know if he's ever said, he loves Sokka.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about it. I was like, dude, you remember? He's like, oh man, thanks so much. He was really sweet about it. He didn't sound like that. I made him sound, but sorry. Yeah, no, his Lotor seems so cool.
Speaking of, and we have to touch on this, and the names went by really quickly and then weren't in the credits and aren't on the wiki, and I didn't write them down, so, you know, I have failed this city.
Yo, chat.
But, yeah, yo, chat. No, Blue. She was the one in the Weblum.
Yes, she was.
What was she doing there? And I have a theory that will come up in, like, I have a theory that'll come up in, like, five episodes, but spoiler talk.
Maybe Lotor just asked her, hey, could you pick up some groceries? And she got sidetracked.
He pranked him. It's like in Guardians of the Galaxy when Rocket's like, I want that guy's arm or leg. It's just that, like, go into that belly of that whale thing.
Yeah. Do you really need that, sir?
Absolutely. Yeah. I need a Teladoff.
Yeah.
Her name is... Axa?
Well, there's
Axa, Ezor, Zethrid, and Narti. And the purple one, the one we're talking about, is Axa, yeah?
Aksha.
Aksha.
This is a problem.
See,
for
there
me.
You are.
This
thank is a problem you. For me. Right.
Because every single time I say their names, I go, guys. it's Ezor, Aksha, Narti, and what's Zethrid? Yeah, and so there. Yeah,
I love that you just went into the voice.
I have to do it in his voice because otherwise it's wrong.
I just feel vindicated assessment. Because that's one of the only other places I've seen an X pronounced like that. Yeah. Like,
I believe it's. I might be wrong because again, they constantly correct me. They're like, no, AJ, it's not Hagar.
It's okay. It's that's Hagar. What I messed, yes, Hagar. It's okay though because George R. R. Martin literally had to call the showrunners of Game of Thrones and be like, how do I spell this character's name?
J O N.
It's Snow. That's right. Yeah. Snow. Jonathan Snow.
Right. So to get back into things, we see Lotor do the old bait and switch with his poor general, who is, you Throck. Know, poor Throck, who is out in the middle of nowhere now.
An horrible, weird haircut.
And he's sitting here going, I think I made a friend.
Yeah.
He'll be good to me.
I think he knows he's in deep. There's a certain sense of, like, okay, yeah,
well, either way,
should have died today.
If a person in authority learns your name that quick, it's never necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
So either way, you're going to be in trouble for
it's
a little
like
bit.
Like Darth Vader was like, "Hey, you." Yeah. Like,
oh no, he knows who I am.
And that means that either multiple people knew what Throck was going to do, and one of them leaked it to Lotor, or Lotor's hearing is just that good. Like he's fighting this beast, and at the same time, just listening in on this one conversation in the stands. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get that guy good.
He does have good ears, maybe, but I think there's got to be. He must have known, because otherwise that'd be insane. If he's like, I heard what you were saying. You know, like I know I was fighting and I was wearing a helmet. And I have all this hair stuffed in here.
I can hear you.
Like at the end of the scene, he just goes out and said, I heard what you said.
It was very hurtful.
Why would you say that?
I'm the prince.
Yeah, no, I think I need sassy sad Lotor in my life. Ruler of the garbage fire.
I need to establish that he's a cool guy before I totally go off rails and go full Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I enjoy blooper reel content because it's different from what we get in the
that's
actual
a thing.
Show.
I hope that becomes our blooper reel. Our blooper reel would be insane.
Add that to it.
Yeah, I think you can put that in it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I would watch an hour and a half of just Voltron blooper reel.
That's actually what season 4 is.
Just spoiler alert.
That would be amazing. I mean, we're like crying sometimes. Like, there's certain things, especially between Tyler and Josh. I mean, we all kind of egg each other on. Like, we're kind of like the class clowns on some level where we want, or if. Well, actually, there's an actor I probably shouldn't say.
And then some other
people. Again, yeah. Actually, I don't know. Wait, he was. He was maybe in the first episode of the first... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Someone else. There's a lot of joking. We all sort of like to push each other. So, and I mean, we all joke in different ways, but I think we're the ones that want to joke. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of fart jokes and things that we maybe should... Josh loves to go... Brr! In the middle of things. It's great. I'm hurting his reputation. He'll just go... Brr! He does this amazing, like, accurate fart noise. That it's like, I've never heard anyone... Because you can do... Or whatever, but right. Like, his is this perfect...
Yeah,
it's a wonderful thing.
We need to get Josh on the line.
Yeah, really great.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. This is what they. Yeah, this is what you wanted to
say. Josh will come back and it'll just say "fart master."
Yeah, number one fart dad.
Fart dad.
Number one fart dad.
Hashtag fart dad.
Yeah,
it's my favorite one.
Oh my
Daddy.
God, I think we need to get back on top.
I'm sorry.
Do we?
Number one space fart.
We do have a doodle in the hashtag that says "Galra are people too."
Aww.
Right?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Bless you, Sierra. Bless you. Thank you for that. I love you. Anyway, yeah, the next thing we see Lotor do is set a trap, which I don't think we saw a lot of this from Zarkon. He was kind of the every problem is a nail because I have a hammer sort of person. Mm. Or they have my hammer, give me back my hammer. As it was.
Yeah. It's always great when actual strategy gets implemented as opposed to just I'ma keep chasing you until I get what I want.
I'ma getcha.
One way or another.
I think what's so fun and what works so well about their relationship is, I mean, like any of us with our parents, we see what they did and they went and we went, oh, I'm going to do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so I think it works so well because, you know, you set him up as kind of this like Emperor Zerg, you know what I mean? Where he's kind of, and he's great, but like there is that kind of like, I'm just going to do it this way. And this is my sort of, and then when Lotor comes in and sees all those sort of faults, that's what's so fun about that dynamic. Yeah. You know, they don't, it's great. I love that.
Because I feel like Zarkon is very straightforward evil.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, again, as you say, it's like, oh, well, this is a nail and I have a hammer, so I'm just going to hammer it.
We're just going to overpower them.
And, right, and he's very, very one-track minded, whereas I feel like Lotor is a lot more crafty and flexible while still being just as evil from certain people's perspective.
Just as well.
Evil, but sure.
And keep in mind that this is an empire that has had 10,000 years of victory. Like, no one has been able to touch them. No one has been able to stop them. There have been pockets of resistance, but there's been nothing big. And suddenly we have Voltron out of nowhere with 5 rookie pilots who are winning things and freeing planets and dealing blows to the heart of the Empire itself. And it's like, what the hell is happening? It's like when your house cat tries to put you in a carrier.
Wait, what?
I don't get that
metaphor. Weird. Nope. I don't get that metaphor.
But like, I mean,
Black Paladin out.
They've always been able to
not
just.
Again.
Oh, no. Yeah, too soon.
Come on.
I might be back later. You don't know. You
don't know. Over to that side of the table.
I'm fine where I'm at.
Wait, we all need to take turns in that scene to make sure.
Right, that it's the right person.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was such a great. I love that we had that little bit of comedy with all of them, and then Lance and his self-esteem not working out, and then Keith, please, no. Like, I don't want this.
See, that's one thing about this show, and I'm not just saying that because I work on the show. Like, the pacing is something that's not. People take that for granted.
Yeah.
When you watch, especially cartoons or movies now. Getting to see them all sort of sit in the line and test it out, like, that's such a great moment. Because to me, that's the core of the show, is those characters, the way they feel about each other, the way they feel about themselves, and getting to see them in that position. And then that, please know, is like, I got chills thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, in the scene preceding that as well, because basically by the end of the first episode, they decide, okay, guys, Voltron, again, as you say, Mark, it's this symbol of unity. It's the symbol of hope throughout the universe. We have to find a new pilot for the Black Lion. We have to be able to form Voltron, and then
we can't afford for Keith to ruin another diplomatic meeting.
Right, yes. Keith is not great at diplomacy, guys.
Hashtag Keith ruins everything.
Yeah, he's real good at brooding in a corner. But
I am the loner. But just because Shiro wanted me to lead,
Yeah, that's exactly the scene I was going to bring up, is under that sort of emotional pressure, it's like he cracks and reveals that Shiro did want him to lead Voltron, which is news to everybody at this point.
But no one got that memo.
It's not just that. It's the idea that if he takes the Black Lion, then Shiro is gone.
Yeah.
100%.
Sure.
That's permanent. I didn't even pick up on that. Yeah. But that's true. That's what it is.
Yeah. It also allowed for some really nice character development on the part of Lance, who I think was sort of static last season. Again, like, it wasn't to the point that it was annoying, but I didn't feel he particularly had a lot of growth.
We got a little bit of insight to him with Beta Traz.
Absolutely.
But that was just a glimpse.
And him feeling a little bit like maybe he doesn't really fit into the group anywhere, which is something that they also continue to explore within the season. Samurai Sharpshooter, obviously. Yeah.
I love that, one, it shows an enormous amount of maturity on his part.
Yes.
And two, it also, it does play more into those feelings of insecurity that he had. When Blue locks him out, he's like, does this mean, like, not only was I not meant to pilot the Black Lion, I wasn't meant to be a paladin at all?
They were goofing back on him. But to see the development between the two episodes of Selfie Lance, all the way to
with all these alien chicks,
all the way to Lance literally being the one to go up to Keith and be like, "This is what the Black Lion decided. Mm-hmm. I support its decision,
and you should.
I trust it. you need to also.
And this is after the, I don't want you to be the head of Ultron, I don't want you leading me anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig my heels in on this rivalry that I created to feel better. And now it's like, no, well, okay, the decision has been made. We do actually need to do the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what impresses Red enough to get him to be Voltron's right hand. Yeah. And that's the thing with the Red Lion. You have to impress her.
Sure.
I love that. It looks like a hippogriff where it's like you must bow.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. There's, because
bend the knee.
Yeah, you gotta prove they're so fickle. They're cats. You know, you have to be worthy of that. I love that whole aspect of the show because it's not like, you know, there isn't, what's the thing, power crawl? Have you ever heard of that concept where it's like people just suddenly gain something?
Yes.
Like, I love you have to earn it, and it was every time.
And it was really interesting because somebody had tweeted at me earlier when I was tweeting about this season, and they said, well, I don't really feel like Keith's a great leader, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, if
sounded?
He was... Yeah, that's exactly right. How it sounded.
They're like constipated and, yeah. I don't think this is... I'm sorry. That was the voice.
That is the voiceover I give to every annoying person on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't really think he's a good leader. It's Macho Man Randy Savage.
I'm not so sure he's the cream of the crop.
And this again goes back to AJ, what you were saying about the pacing of the show being really good is it would be really boring if Keith just was an amazing leader.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it also wouldn't be Keith.
Correct. Yeah. It would be super out of character.
That's what's so great. They stick, you know, that the characters are themselves. Like, I love that. I mean, I'm such an obsessive, like, with film and everything. But character has to be themselves throughout the thing. If anything changes, you're like, this isn't good. You know, like, if they betray themselves, you don't, you know.
Something's amiss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's been a hint. Keith has been, for fans of the original series, or me, who was always sort of passively, oh, cool, Voltron. But looking at Keith's character design, he's wearing a red coat with a black t-shirt underneath.
Yep.
So you're always looking and seeing there's something greater. Just under the surface.
Just like Allura was always wearing blue with a little bit of pink in there.
I'm going to ask them if they intended that now. Next time I go, I'm like, listen, there's this great theory. Although, I don't know if they'll tell me.
Didn't.
Yeah. Lauren might tell me. Joaquin will be like, I don't know.
But you know
you have to tune in. I work for you.
What was hard to watch, though, was Allura trying and failing
to connect with the blue lion.
Ooh. Well,
the black lion, and especially
it's the red lion that hurts so much.
Yeah.
Like, she actually starts crying, and I don't think we've ever seen her cry.
Oh, I cried when she was. I cried through all of episode two. Full disclosure.
Well, in episode two is where we find out that her dad piloted the red lion. Mm-hmm. That the red lion was Alfor's lion.
Yeah.
So it's like, this means a lot to you. And it just rejected her. Yeah. Wasn't impressed.
Really quick break in the action. Shout out to Malachroma, friend of the show. I wanted to see Ponytail Lotor, and then I remembered I'm an artist and create my own Ponytail Lotor.
Oh.
And they just sketched up this adorable.
Oh my god.
That's the hashtag. That's
that is ABTV Voltron.
Malachroma, you are the best.
Chat was making jokes about how millennials would rather support Voltron than the Galra Empire, and millennials are ruining the Galra Empire and just going on that whole millennial trend.
And Hassan does point out, and it is absolutely correct, that Allura did cry in the Event Horizon episode.
Okay. That makes sense.
Crystal
that
Venom.
Makes sense.
And we'll talk
about it. Thank you, Hassan.
Crystal Venom? What was that?
That was the name of the episode.
Oh, the same episode. That's a cool name. What's that?
That's my Voltron.
From the show.
Voltron, original character, do not steal.
Yeah. But I think that's what it was. So for me, obviously, what I've really enjoyed about Voltron, and I guessed from the beginning that Pidge was absolutely a girl, and I still got extremely emotional at the reveal. And so for me, it's like, not only, because in the original series, it was such a big deal to me as a kid that one of these pilots in this all-boy team was a girl, that Sven had to go to the space hospital for an extended period of time and got replaced with Allura, the end. But it was even more fantastic here because the reaction to her piloting the Blue Lion when she shows up is, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. You're a pilot too. Instead of them being like, well, princess, it's dangerous. You shouldn't do this.
Yeah, that was the original series.
Yes.
Here, everyone's just like, we have seen combat space princess in action. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like literally throwing Galra soldiers around. OG series, they literally tied her to a chair and insisted, no, you stay here.
What the hell?
Well, I think also for this, it's a wonderful message, but it was also, we're in the middle of a firefight. Cool, great. Now, can you help us clear out some of these fighters, please?
No, but it was after they were done with the battle.
That's right.
Especially at this great moment of being like, oh, it's so cool, Laura, this is great. Like, you're part of our little paladin team now.
Well, all of that is so good. But what I really loved about this, too, is how it actually makes sense that they are a hot mess when they actually go out to fight. Like, nobody's used to the lions that they're flying.
3 out of 5 are in the wrong lions or are in new lions. And it's like, oh, the black lion's not as fast. I'm like, well, duh. Like, nobody thinks about these things until they're straight in the middle of it and going, oh, it's like, I love that that's even God, addressed. You are a bunch of teenagers.
Like, in the show, the fact that they take the time to address that, because it is something you'd be, if they're all just like, yeah, whatever, I'm in a lion, it would be weird. I like that there, because when you think about, like, you just drive your friend's car, you're like, oh, the seat's different, and, you know, everything about that sort of, and especially since it's so personal.
Yeah.
I just love that. I love that they take the time to, Keith, you know, saying that about the bike. I love it.
It's like, it's not responding correctly, and, yours is too fast, and then there's just, I'm in a lion for the first time.
Yeah. This isn't a giant warship.
No, it's not. Yeah, we're swinging into next week on some of these. But yeah, I do love that they address that. I love that we have this. And pink as the color to honor fallen heroes.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Bless
so cool.
this
cool.
show.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, oh, you're a girl, so you wear pink. It's like, no, this is a conscious choice.
This is
bringing my history with me.
Exactly. She's the last representative of her culture and her planet. And her people.
I love her design. It's weird, but like when I first saw her design, and I was like, she's just a perfect, cool looking. Like, I want her action figure.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want a statue of her. She's so cool.
She's a space princess. It's great.
Totally. Yeah. I love her voice. I love Kimberly.
Woman of color.
Yeah.
Everything about her character, I love. Like, I remember when I first went in and heard Kimberly's voice, I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's an awesome voice. And then, when I finally got to see her, I get it now. You know, it all sort of gelled together, and it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, episode 2 was such a strong episode overall, but it was, and chat is carrying on about it. It was such a strong episode for both Lance and Allura.
Oh, yeah.
Especially together, in terms of their friendship kind of evolving throughout the course of the episode, because again, we went from, as you say, Mark, like selfie Lance in the last episode, and now...
It's all about getting the women, and going on your next adventure.
No, and in this episode, he very much, I don't know, it was really nice to see him.
We get to see a lot of sides of him. We get to see him be his normal self and be, like, still that kind of petulant teenager, but then immediately switch it up for the sake of the team to be, like, that supportive friend of, like, hey, I'm going to steer you in the right direction.
Right.
And then even further than that, then, like, the passing of the torch,
exactly,
too.
Well, and it was very much on Allura's part as well, because it was her being like, my dad created Voltron, but he knew that he was not a good leader. He wasn't as strong of a leader as Archon, so he created the Red Lion to be his right-hand man, and now that's who you are. That's who you have to be. So
aww,
good, you guys. So I'm getting emotional again.
Created Voltron. It's a funny thing to say.
Tell
me about bring your dad to work or school. Like, what's your dad do? Well, he created Voltron.
That's almost like back in the day, where it's like a cheat code for like Mega Man. It's like, oh, my uncle works for Nintendo. I was like, yeah, well, my dad created Voltron. Whatever.
I'm sure Allura sounded just like that in school.
Yeah. My dad invented Voltron.
That's old Pidge.
About an octave up of that is old Pidge.
Yeah, that's true.
That crazy maniac.
OG Pidge is terrifying.
Yeah, like, we've had some moments with the cast. Josh in particular is a real... I remember he sat and explained to another cast member, someone that was like a day player or something, just the whole... They were like, what's this show about? He's like... and explain
Josh actually wrote the whole Voltron fandom with
him. Yeah, basically he's up there, but
Josh needs to hurry up and update it with the episodes.
But he'll pull up those old clips and show us, and I had no idea what Pidge sounded like when he showed up. We got to see some interesting Allura scenes too with Karan and the old series. There's some weird moments. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I alluding to it correctly?
It's a very weird show.
There's just some weird moments in the old show. I shouldn't be saying this. Three Marks is watching me going, AJ. But yeah, there's some things that you would never see in this.
It's a very dated product.
I love it for what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, but it's such a funny... you know, even watching...
It's
like,
amazing on many levels. Yeah.
Well, there's so many things, like, if you watch, like, Temple of Doom now, you're like, oh. You know, I love Temple of Doom, but it's like, you couldn't make Temple of Doom today.
No, absolutely not.
They could make it with a very different bent.
You can't make PG Temple of Doom. Today's PG Temple of Doom versus...
Well, yeah, back when PG meant something.
Yeah. Anyway, Voltron.
Yeah. Anyway, Voltron, we are running very short on time. I think the last thing that I wanted to touch on that chat was definitely talking about earlier was Pidge still on the lookout for Matt.
Yes.
Yes, that was one of my favorite scenes because it was just information, 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 Karan joke. Information, information, information. It was awesome.
I love what doing is number five. I'm in a cosplay.
Yeah. Then I designed it so it would play my theme song.
I love that. I'm obsessed with Karan. He's the best. But that moment with the, play my theme song. Whatever he did, it was like...
The following moment of him being so just deflated,
all right, back to the world. Stood up on the desk back and just very sheepishly.
The fact that you get to see him just slowly get back down, it's like, bless you.
You don't get those moments. It's usually just back to one, but now he's like, all right, I can just kind of get down from this anymore. But that was a moment when we were watching the episode of Comic-Con where we had no idea what Pidge was saying because people were too busy laughing at Karan.
Yep.
That makes sense. Yeah,
didn't get half of the episode at that because people either crying or laughing.
But yeah, they're like, she's still on the lookout for her brother. Apparently that there are these people with masks who are like members of the resistance on the fringes of the galaxy. It's
possibly.
Just like,
fashion space pirates.
Yeah.
I love her trying to figure it out. Like, that was such a cool moment because I don't remember that from the script. Or, you know, I was just like, oh, she's like trying to detective her way through.
It was just like Batman at the Batcomputer.
Exactly.
In Batman the Animated Series.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Perfect.
Pidge, the galaxy's greatest detective.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm in.
I would watch that show.
I would watch that TV program.
Good news. We are.
It's true. But I liked, too, that it harkens back to the idea that these characters all have these motives and backstories and things that drive them. But at the same time, I like that that's kind of, in a way, become secondary for Pidge because being part of the team is the most important thing.
And that was such a huge part of her journey.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's nice to see that she hasn't given up
on
her family.
Of course not, yeah.
But, yeah, that it's kind of not as high of a priority.
Well, it's going to be a heck of a lot harder to find Matt without Voltron.
It's true.
Well, speaking to that, it was great how we had that scene where she was so focused on this, that, Matt, this, everything. It was like, oh, well... everybody's going back. We're going to have a quick debrief. And it regardless of how into her research she is, she's like, oh, family meeting. And just like, I'll be back for this later. Let's all hang out and listen to Lance be a jerk. Because why not?
You just love family meeting. Like, yeah that's Aww. Kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. And just everyone being really angry. All right. Yeah. Well,
that's what a family does. We all yell at each other. Yeah. I made a comment online about, like, I was like, I love the Voltron, you know, fans. It's like a family. So it was like a family. And I was like, yeah, families argue. know, my family, that's all we do. But I meant the connection you find. And, you know, that sort of feeling of, I got your back, even though I might be yelling at you about Keith. You know, there's that feeling of, yeah, they're a family.
You can love people and ship things differently than they do.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that. That's
all I'm going to say. You can love people and have different preferences.
Let's not touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. Pivot. Pivot.
Touched.
But, go back and watch last season if you want to hear more about that.
But yeah, speaking of film, I really do, based on the introduction of Lotor that we get, I'm like, what is his relationship with his dad? Like,
I know.
Dad is 10,000 years old.
Like, here's my question. Dad is 10,000 years old. When did Lotor happen? Is Lotor also 10,000 years old?
We'll be able to talk about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I have thoughts, but they're spoilers, so I'm going to keep them to myself.
Even having seen the whole season, I still have those questions.
And we'll discuss them in 3 weeks.
Yep. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, just as a character introduction, I'm like, this is very intriguing. I want to dig into this more.
I think his actions say a lot about, like, what we're seeing. They're telling us a lot about that relationship. I mean, it's not being... That's what I like about what he's doing. He's basically calling his dad out in front of a, you know,
yeah.
an army of people. It's like, oh.
So, yeah, well, where is he?
Yeah.
Come on out, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm the new CEO here, and we do things my way. We're going to have a more robust HR policy, and we're going to put out the fire in our dumpster.
About last year's Christmas party.
And there'll be a cereal bar. Like Pixar. The only thing I know about Pixar is like, I remember watching the making of it, and I was like, they have a cereal bar.
He's, he's got a lot of employees. The one thing
that stuck with you.
Yeah, because I went to a friend of mine worked there, and I got to visit, and I was like, there's a cereal bar? And they're like, do you want some cereal? And I was like, yeah.
Lotar's been watching a lot of TED Talks, and so he's got a lot of employee relationship ideas.
Kind of earpiece mic. Yeah. Steve Jobs turtleneck.
Please don't draw that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Malachroma for no reason other than to please draw that.
They're just kind
keep
of
sending me long chin
Lotar.
Last hour, someone sent me one with him on a knife. And I was like, listen, I know he's got a pointy chin, but I don't know what to do with this information.
But he's not the only... I'll carry this along. He's not the only character with a pointy chin, though.
If any of them look down, they'll stab themselves in the chest.
Yeah. Except as bad as Escaflowne with the nose.
Right. I mean, except Shiro has kind of like a nice, like, chiseled...
Like a chiseled jaw.
Yeah. Like square chin. Yeah.
Everybody else has the anime point for sure.
I wish that was real. Can you imagine how weird we'd all be? It'd be normal to us. You'd be freaky if you had like a flat chin. Be like, oh, there's something wrong with that.
Like, are you okay?
Yeah, are you alright? Did you like look down too quick?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you break off your point?
Yeah.
You smushed it. Like, did you like look down and you smushed against your chest, like into your face?
We all have such different ways of carrying ourselves. We had pointy chins all the time. Yeah. Everything would be like this.
I'd have a lot better posture.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Dueling chins. Like, it's a sport. You just kind of...
That's another thing that someone said. I want to see, who was it? It was like Lance and Lotor dual chins or something.
Lance is kind of pointy-chinned. Yeah. Keith is really pointy-chinned, too. But again, that, I think, is sort of... I mean, the Galra lady gang, most of them have kind of pointy chins also. So, you know, maybe it's a Galra thing.
I want to talk about them a little more because we kind of touched on them a little bit and we have been granted a little more time. So let's dig into this. I love them all and I'm also terrified.
That's the perfect relationship to have with them is to love them and be terrified.
They wrecked a city in 5 minutes with... Yeah,
how long does it take you?
Less than that. So it depends on the size of the city. Supposedly, they didn't kill anyone, but they definitely Wilhelm someone off a roof. And they also threw a yak, so I'm not sure everyone survived. Like, don't kill anyone. Okay, but...
From their perspective, they didn't kill anyone, because they just...
Gravity killed him.
We didn't... Well, I mean, we didn't mean to kill anybody. Right. I didn't stab anybody.
All I did was throw a yak.
Come on.
I don't see what the problem is.
Also the fault of gravity. He just shouldn't have been under the yak at the time.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yak attack.
That's their fault.
Yep.
Yeah. I also thought it was just a great choice to have all of his people be half-breeds and women, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that also made me implicitly be like, oh, I like Prince Lotar.
I like that it's defiant against, because I can imagine Zarkon being like, no.
Very purebred.
Yeah, exactly. And so him being like, no. You know, like, not only are they qualified, but they're outside of his realm of comfort. And I love that.
They're totally against what his dad would want.
You can't pick my friends, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And he fights on the front line with them, and, like, apparently a lot of upper echelon military people in the Galra forces are like a lowly private. Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah, I love that conversation when Throck, or then that other guy whose name I don't remember, had that conversation where they're basically laying out, you know, what's up with Prince Lomar, why he's wearing. I also love that they point out how tiny he is. Because I love, as someone who grew up really short, like, I love a character. It's like, oh, he's smaller than all the other Galra? That's cool. Like, I remember when I read that script, I was like, I'm behind this guy. I dig that. I like the little Napoleon complex guys.
I mean, there's such a size discrepancy between him and his dad, too. Like, Zarkon's huge.
Right.
And then he's just this very slender guy, but he still packs a punch. It's pretty, it's very interesting.
Well, and I would assume that Lotar is also a half-breed, because I don't see any purebred Galra with that hair.
Mm. Oh my gosh,
like,
the hair
dang,
is so
it's
y'all.
A weave, maybe.
Again, going against what his dad would want.
Right, exactly. Lotar. Yeah, catches him in the bathroom. Like, no!
Oh, sorry, lock the door next time.
Don't look.
Luna Malfoy in chat says, I understood Keith's dad after seeing Lotor's genitals. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Why he'd hook up with a Galra babe?
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I'm in, I'm down.
And kid show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's easy to forget.
Yeah. Yeah, you look on the internet, you can easily forget.
Yeah. But with this, we have introduced
exactly
invisibility. We have introduced straight up mind control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've introduced a tank that I have fallen in love with.
Did anybody notice the cat that she has?
Yeah.
Callback.
That's a great callback to the old really show.
Cool. Yeah.
It's just on the wrong person.
Is it?
For those of you who didn't watch the old series, Hagar had a cat. For some godforsaken reason.
Why not?
Because she was
witches knew about any of us with a cat. They're like, for some godforsaken reason, this person has a cat. She's probably just like, I want that cat. I'm lonely. I just really like to. It's a lot of stress to fly around in space. I'd really like a kitty.
Yeah. Just like a space cat.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Hashtag space cats.
Yeah.
I just want to see the space cat shelter that she got that from.
Aww.
Like, what other animals are at that animal shelter?
That'd be crazy.
What's the adoption policy?
But I would like them to be completely normal cats and that one.
Right.
No, that one!
I could get the tabby, or I could get the purple one.
That one just gets me.
Yeah.
Just the one doing eyes. This. That says evil across it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that one. Yeah.
We're gonna get along just fine.
It matches your aesthetic. You're in the 80s. You're evil.
Yeah.
No, it's like now they match my garment.
Totally like I'm gonna see through the cat's eyes, and I'm also going to take over people's minds. And no, she's the scary one.
No, I like I said, I like them all, and I really like that the tank of their group.
Zethryn.
She's so enthusiastic about what she does.
She's like, that one moment, Jamie, the voice actress, tweeted out this moment where she's just doing like what she called twerking, where she's like anger twerking, and that's such a wonderful weird because it's like she's just so excited. I love that. It's
so excited about murder.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's, I like that about her.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I love their dynamic.
Oh, my
God. We did get ABTV Voltron. Princess Ponies 8 drew us a turtleneck Lotor.
Oh, no.
That did not take
and it says number one prince
God.
On the
yeah. I forgot I'm tied to the wall.
Yeah, I'll show you after the show.
Okay, well, I believe you.
Yes.
Right,
it's true.
We are getting the signal to wrap, so we have to do the thing. AJ, thank you so much
for
joining us tonight.
This was so fun.
Are you working on anything else you can tell us about?
God, am I? I think everything I'm working on is a secret. Dawn of the Croods, just some of that came out. It's also under the DreamWorks umbrella. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting. But right now, most things that I can remember are all still under NDA.
NDAs are tough,
So, yeah.
You're working on Bleep and Bleep.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Bleep.
As far as you guys know, I'm just unemployed. So, yeah.
Right in the Lotor train.
Yeah, there's someone out there I feel like that I'm working on a project with. They're like, why did you tell them about the thing? I'm like, oh, that's right. No, I'm just here.
And where can they follow you for more information?
At AJ Locascio on Twitter. That's probably the best place. Instagram is just pictures of my dog.
Aww. And your drawings.
And my drawings. Yeah, that's true. I do post my drawings from time to time. And I'm super lazy, though. I'm not one of those people that's, like, constantly just like, yeah, here's another drawing. Like, I'll put, like, a batch, and then I'll forget to do it for, like, months. So it's, yeah, I just accumulate.
Yeah.
But it's mostly my dog, Ducky, because she's adorable.
Well, thanks again.
Awesome.
Yes, of course.
All right, for those of you who sent in iTunes reviews, I see all, like, half dozen of you. We will get to those next time because we are out of time. In the meantime, Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. That's all Fs as in Fred. If you are listening, no Ss as in snake. You can find me on Mondays and Wednesdays at 11 o'clock a.m. over at Collider on Collider TV Talk. So I will be there this Wednesday and every Friday night over at HyperRPG on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/HyperRPG, 9 o'clock p.m. every Friday night. Pencils and Parsecs, it's a Star Wars RPG. You should watch it.
That's a lot of information.
I know.
Do you think someone was like, oh, jeez, I got to rewind. You guys are never going to get to your lower thirds. That's your information. That's never going to happen.
Just look and move on.
Yeah. Just have Twitter handles.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, and you can every Monday I host a gaming culture show called Inventory Full, which is on YouTube at Inventory Full on Popcorn Talk. Follow the Twitter account, Inventory Full PT. We're going to be streaming soon on Twitch, which is also at Inventory Full PT.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, because I got some fun podcast project stuff coming up. So do that. Do that.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Robots in Disguise, Tuesdays at 8. Turn, Tuesdays at 9. We have 2 episodes left in the series, y'all. They are going to be awesome. I am also on Gather Your Party on Geek and Sundry's Twitch. That is twitch.tv/geekandsundry. That is Friday night at 9:30 p.m. It's awesome. You should tune in. It is super fun. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hail Lotor!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.